Good morning. Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. This parsha we are going to be looking at is the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh. It is the third Haftarah of Nechemta, of our comfort, and it is a short Haftarah found in Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Dalet Pasuk Yudalet to Nun Hei Pasuk Hei. It is a Haftarah which should sound familiar because it is part of the Haftarah of the Parsha of Noach. And it begins with the words Ania Sa'ara, a turbulent, poor person, a woman. This is a metaphor for Jerusalem, no Nuchama, which is not comforted. And in response to it, Hinei Anochi Marbitz Papuch, Vavonaich Visaratayach Visapirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lay the foundations with sand and stone for a building. And we hear these beautiful descriptions here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to lay to make windows for these luminescent stones and pillars for the gates of the precious stones as well. All the children of Yerushalayim will be learning of Torah. There will be peace among the children. And this will be a function of the fact that there is justice in the city. And the lack of intimidation and cheating. These are some of the crimes that Yeshayahu attacks in the times of his admonition to the nation of Israel. Those who fear him will, those who fear him are far away from him. And those at war with you will be scared to fight you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes He creates a furnace, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a furnace, and the tools to that Hashem will create will be used to make weapons, but all the vessels used against him won't work. He says, as he says, Kol kli yutzar alayach lo yitzlach v'chol loshon tokum yitoch l'mishpat tarshi. You won't be able, nobody will have power over you. Zos nachlas avdei Hashem tzikos Psalm 18, Om Hashem. This is the inheritance of the servants of God and their righteousness from me, says God. So very, very powerful section over here. Just a few observations to make. And that is that there are two different metaphors over here. There's the metaphor of this, the Ania So'ara, this poor woman who is in a turbulent time and her healing. And there's also the building of the laying the stones down to Yerushalayim. Why do we need two separate metaphors? It's sort of mixing the metaphors. So it seems that the one is about physical redemption, that kibbutz galios, that all the nation of Israel come together, and the second is about the spiritual redemption, which is the fact that there will be a spiritual center for the nation of Israel. That's, so to speak, not just avoiding turbulence, not just avoiding being impoverished, but building and shining light outwards. We've really witnessed the first stage of this. We've witnessed the kibbutz galios, the physical building of the land of Israel. We're also witnessing the growth of Torah and spirituality, but there's still work to be done in terms of the spiritual nature of the nation of Israel, what it represents as well. Very, very powerful, very beautiful description which is laid down over here. Now, Babanel also points out that there are three descriptions over here which relate to exile. Ania, which is impoverishment. So'ara, that's like in a state of storm or buffeted. That's like the persecution of Golos. And Lo Nochama means unsupported, uncared for. And in response, if you look through his Haftarah, it describes three responses to each of those. In response to poverty, now they'll have huge stones and precious gems in their rebuilding. In response to persecution, they'll now have the peace, Rav Shalom Bonaich, the peace to be able to study Torah. In response to the unsupportedness, the abandonedness in exile, we are told, Rachakim Yoshek, Kilo Siro, Mimichita, Kilo Sikrav Elaich, nobody's going to bother you, you're going to be fully independent as well. That's what Barbanel says is being described over here as well. And basic question that comes from a very, very important pasuk in our section in our paragraph is the Torah, or the Nach over here says, V'chol b'naich limuda Hashem v'rav shalom b'naich. And there's much peace among your children. Taken literally, that's a wonderful blessing. But the Gemara actually explains that this refers to the Gemara at the end of Brachas and numerous other places across Chazal describe that Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. We learn from here that Rav shalom b'naich, that it relates to the word Rav, Talmidei Chachamim, Shalom Banaich, they will increase the peace among your children, which doesn't seem so intuitive and natural, because you see that the Rabbonim, the Talmidei Chachamim, are always arguing. Arguments seem to be moving away from peace. So how could we say that Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam? So the Rav Kook in his pirush on the Siddur called Olas Re'iya, on the Kippitah Makatoris, where this appears, explains that shalom does not mean to say that everybody's wrapped in an embrace and is thinking the same thing. But the word shalom comes from the word shlemus, which means completion, fullness, the complexity that is derived through a multi-varied perspective. And therefore, when trying to understand what that is, you need to have multiple perspectives in order to be able to get to shalom, to shlemos. And that's what the Chachamim are doing. In a respectful way, what they do is they work with each other in order to be able to achieve truly a magnificent combination of what it's supposed to be. What is interesting is Rav Sacks points out, or Jonathan Sacks points out, that when it says Rav Shlom Banaich, the Gemara also tells us, Al tikra banaich ela banaich, don't call it your sons, but rather your builders. And Jonathan Sacks points out an interesting thing, that when one tries to get other people to do something, when one has an employee, when one has a child, when one wants to somebody else to be drinking the same Kool-Aid as one is as well, and wants them to be doing something, there are different ways of achieving it. And each of those are the different models that are described here. There's bonaich, children. So that's sort of a more paternalistic perspective where you say, listen, I know better, I know what to do, I'm in charge, you should do this because you as a child, or as the, we'll call it in the hierarchy, the lower step on the hierarchy, are need to do what I'm telling you. There's another way of saying it, which is Rav Shalom Banaich, means to say that Al Tikra Banaich, don't call them your children, rather Banaich, your builders. If you want to get somebody else to do something, it's not about necessarily telling them that you must do it because of a paternalistic hierarchy, but rather because I need you, you're going to build with me. We're all together. You're part of the process of building. And that's what the Midrash is also saying over here, is don't call people bonaich, your children. Call them your builders. And that's the way to get them to do things. And then we move to the last paragraph of Ayar HaPtorah, which is very short, the beginning of Perek Nunhei, where we're told, Hoy kol tzomei lechu l'mayim, a person who's thirsty, turn to water. Asher elo kesef lechu shiru ve'echolu, and those who do not have money, go and eat. Lechu shiru b'loy kesef loy mechir yayim v'cholav, go and have without the cost of silver the wine and milk. And then it describes why you weighing out money and you're not without getting bread and you're straining yourselves without being able to satiate yourselves. Listen to what I'm doing. I'm saying to you, eat well and look after yourselves. He describes how if you listen to me, I will look after yourselves and you bring yourselves life. I will cut a covenant with you. I've made you as a testifier, as a witness to the rest of the nations. A nation who doesn't know you will call you. So nations who do not recognize you will run towards you. Because of the holiness of Israel, because Hashem is that Hashem has given you, which is your splendor as well. So a few basics over here. What is this business about going towards water? What's the metaphor over here? So the Barbanel says it's a very basic metaphor for physical safety. Is that you will now, when you have the ability to be able physical safety, you'll be able to go and carry out your mission. You'll be able to get the water you need. This is a description of safety. If you think back to the Six-Day War in the Golan Heights, in the Galil, where the farmers were being shot upon and people couldn't have access to water. If you think back to times of Shoftim, where the surrounding nations wouldn't let people even bring the water to their house. This is a description of physical safety. However, the Malbim, quoting Chazal, says that this is a metaphor for spirituality and Torah. Tzamei is a person, just like a person's body will not be able to survive without water, so too the nation of Israel will not be able to survive without its spiritual underpinnings. So as you need it, you need to search out Torah. You need to be able to find Torah in your lives, Torah and mitzvot, which are considered and even additional to that, which is like the yayin v'chalav, that's not just bread, that's not just water, that's the additional, the Malbim says, this is what's being described over here, is find the extra to be able to put into your lives as well. And if you do so, then we come back to that last pasuk, which is very, very powerful, which is how the nation of Israel will be a place where people come from all over the world to see, and people, people you don't even know, tikra, they'll run to you. And sometimes if you've ever had that experience where you're standing at the kotel and you'll see these tour groups from, you know, these flags of countries you've never heard except, you know, in the atlas and are in textbooks, are there in the center, the epicenter of Jerusalem, and talking about this. And you hear people in South Korea fascinated by the Talmud. When Israel's doing its job spiritually, the rest of the world takes note. Why? Ki pei arach, because ultimately, in the end of the day, the Kadosh Yisrael, the holiness, if we embrace what it is that we're unique about, not trying to be like the other nations, then when we try to embrace what is unique about us, what is our unique heritage, then ultimately other people will take note and want to be part of that as well. And that's part of the blessing of Geula, is the fact that people will turn to Israel as an icon of what it means to be a holy place. With this, we close our Torah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.